Leaders. You're listening to Leaders.com.
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, continuing with the two beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Khafidhu and Al-Rafi'u. Al-Khafidhu and Al-Rafi'u. The name, the attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Rafi'u, is translated as Allah is the one who elevates. Allah is the one who elevates. And the complete opposite to Ar-Rafi'u is Al-Khafidhu. The two are actually connected. And generally, when the names are explained, they are actually explained in pairs. Al-Khafidhu would mean that Allah has the complete power to downgrade. That Allah is the abaser. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power to put something low down. And al-rafi'u means something that is uplifted. Something that is elevated. Allah is the one who does that. Now of course the highs and the lows of this dunya by which we are all affected only comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Previously, in the last session of our dars, a few examples were given for us to understand. The two examples that were given was in regards to an entity from the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who were given elevation from before. From the very beginning, elevation was given to them. So for an example, Shaitan, Azazil. Before becoming Shaitan, his name was Azazil. And he was highly ranked amongst the angels. And he would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from the very beginning, Azazil was given that elevation. From the beginning. Brother, you want to read Salah? If you can just go out and read in the foyer, please. Jazakallah khair. Actually, according to the fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah alayh, that if there is the jamaat that has taken place in the main part of the masjid, and for anyone to come in the main masjid and to do jamaat again, it is considered as makruhe tahrimi. Because what happens is that you are in a way devaluing the first jamaat that takes place. And so what it means is that people will get into the habit of missing Jamaat, thinking that there will always be certain individuals who we will meet in the masjid and we will perform our Jamaat. And so unfortunately you will see that sometimes in a masjid, you'll find that there are 4-5 Jamaats that take place. People are just in the habit, especially for Asr. One set of people will come, Asr prayed, gone. Second people come, Asr prayed, gone. Third come and gone. So there is no significance of Jama'at. You're actually devaluing the first Jama'at that takes place. And so of course in the other madhahib, in the other fiqh, it's different, but certainly in the fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa. Imam Abu Hanifa has always been very, very strict when it comes to the five pillars of Islam. He is the only Imam that does not give permission to combine prayers. For an example, for someone to read Asr in the time of Zuhr, or to read Zuhr in the time of Asr, or Maghrib or Isha, that way. Of course, you have Imam Malik and the other scholars who do give permission. But I'm just saying that Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, when it came to Salah, subhanallah, he was very, very strict. All the five pillars, even Zakat. When it comes to Zakat, for an example, according to Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi, if a lady is in, she has the possession of gold or bangles, and that gold and jewelry is in her use, then there is no zakat for her. So if a lady follows the fiqh of Imam Shafi'i, the husband can buy her everything, no problem. There is no zakat to be given. Dr. Saab, husband Hanfi, wife Shafi, can't be that. But Imam Abu Hanifa, very strict, five pillars. In the five pillars, he's very strict. Zakat, he says, no. Even if it is in your use, even if it is bangles, even if it is a gold necklace, you have to give zakat. And so just as an explanation, sometimes when we try to say something, a lot of people find that very strange. And you find that strange because you don't have the ruling in front of you of all the scholars. And so what harm is there for you just to take two steps outside the masjid or go downstairs and avoid that penalty and just pray your salah downstairs? And then sometimes what happens, people, they come, there are people who are praying sunnah and another person is doing jamaat loudly and he's disturbing so many people who want to pray the sunnah namaz. And there are some people who are so sensitive, when somebody is reciting the Quran loud, they forget and they don't know what they are reading in their namaz. So you are actually committing a sin in a way. You come late first, and then you are disturbing others who are actually praying their sunnah in nawafil. So it's just common sense. And so that's just a polite explanation as to why our fuqaha have said all these. These were great barristers in Islam. Our ulama are barristers in Islam. They see everything. And subhanallah, after Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there is no Nabi to come. And so the Sharia has been codified. The Sharia has been explained thoroughly. So people understand, they don't go astray. That is why we say follow one fiqh. Following one imam is like a seat belt. What is it? It's like a, there's safety in it. Because today people don't have that knowledge. If you're driving carelessly without a seat belt, one day it will throw you out of the, of your car. And it could be fatal. Allah save us. And so Allah save us. There is this concerted effort amongst the people who wish to dismantle fiqh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. And so, going back to the topic, that where were we? Shaitan, if you look at him, Allah gave him elevation from before. It was only at that incident when Allah said to him, do sajda to Adam alayhi salam, and he refused. And so when you disobey Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can snatch and take away from you the blessings that you have got with you. Allah can take it away. Exactly what happens in the case of shaitan. You see what happens. He disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah took everything away. And so from complete elevation, ar-rafi'u, at one time we see the complete manifestation of this name of Allah with him. And then it's taken away and we see Al-Khafidhu, Allah puts him down. Also Fir'aun. If you have a look at Fir'aun. Fir'aun was given kingdom. Imagine, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful that Allah gave an order to Musa alayhi salam that go and give him a personal invite. A personal invite. And not one Nabi, two prophets, two brothers go to invite Fir'aun. Musa alayhi salam and his brother Harun alayhi salam. فَقُلْ هَلَّكَ إِلَىٰ أَن تَزَكَّى وَأَهْدِيَكَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَتَخْشَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful. That elevation was given to him, but he could not digest it. And because of pride, and we know, I don't wish to repeat anything again, that has been explained in the last session. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away everything that was given to him. And in fact, the earth did not accept his body. The earth did not accept it. Because of his disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so in our session tonight, I wish to give you another two examples. In the opposite manner, where we see the manifestation of this name, Al-Khafidhu, in the very beginning, but later on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives that individual the status of and the meaning of Al-Rafi'u. So from Al-Khafidhu, how it goes to Al-Rafi'u. We see in the story of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, the son of Yaqub alayhi salam, Yusuf, otherwise also known as Joseph to the wider community. His very own brothers were jealous of him. Own brothers were jealous. Imagine that. Stepbrothers. His real brother was Binyamin, who is known as Benjamin to the wider community today. And so Binyamin and Yusuf alayhi salam were brothers. Maliciously they plan something against Yusuf alayhi salam, a plot against him. And they come up with a story and they convince the father, and the father said, "Teek, you can take Yusuf alayhi salam." And they take Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam, aliyazu billah, a young, very handsome boy. And what they do, all of the brothers gang up together and they decide to throw him and abandon him in a well in the region of Kana'an, a deep well, thinking that maybe he will either die or maybe some travelers that will come and they will pick him up. And so they left Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam, aliyazu billah. And subhanallah, a group of people, travelers, they came. And when they lowered the bucket, Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam got into that bucket. And when they got the bucket on top, what do they see? This beautiful young child, Yusuf alayhi salam, looking at them. Immediately they said that what we will do is we will take him as a slave. Now look at the beginning of this young boy. A free man becomes a slave. The Quran says, وَشَرَوْهُ بِثَمَّنٍ بَخْسٍ دَرَاهِمَ مَعْدُودًا. That these people in the caravan, they sold him for a scanty price. Very cheap, ma'duda. Only for a few dirhams. Baat sasta soda. Not realizing the worth of this young boy. وَكَانُوا فِيهِ مِنَ الزَّاهِدِينَ. And the Quran says that they did not take him to be one who is honorable. وَكَانُوا فِيهِ مِنَ الزَّاهِدِينَ. They did not take him to be one to be honorable. And they sold him. Subhanallah al-Azim. Now imagine they sold him. So if you look at the beginning of this great young individual, subhanallah, downtrodden, downgraded completely. A free man becomes a slave, put into prison, goes through all the hardship and difficulty. But when you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if you were a slave, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make you a king. So from al-khafidhu, how Allah can honor a person. You see the highs and the lows of our life today, what we see, the experiences that we go through. Sometimes you have made every preparation, but a complete failure. You were expecting everything will go your way. Complete preparation you did, but complete failure. And sometimes no preparation and everything goes your way. Why? Because Allah is Al-Khafiz and Allah is Al-Rafi. Allah can demote and Allah can promote. He can demote and Allah can elevate. Allah can promote. That is the prerogative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Yusuf alayhi salam, we see what happens. He became the king. The same brothers came. They fell on their knees and they did sajda to him. In the sharia of Yusuf alayhi salam at that time, doing sajda was accepted. This is called sajdeh ta'azimi. What is it called? Sajdeh ta'azimi. Honorary sajda, prostration. This was accepted previously in the sharia, but not in the sharia of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But khair, we see a beautiful example. We see in the example of shaitan, elevation from the beginning and then doom and gloom. Fir'aun, elevation and then doom and gloom. But here we see Yusuf alayhi salam, a young boy. Subhanallah, nothing at all. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him complete elevation. And then of course, another beautiful example is the example of our beloved Nabi Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He comes into this dunya as an orphan. Even before his birth, subhanallah, the father passed away. As an orphan, Hazrat Abdullah passes away. After his birth, a very short period of time, mother passes away. Look at the life. Look at the humble beginning of this great Nabi. After a short while, mother passes away. After a short while, grandfather Abdul Muttalib passes away. After a while, uncle Abu Talib passes away. After a while, the most beloved Khadijatul Kubra passes away. The people of Makkah impose sanctions upon the tribe of Banu Hashim, his tribe. And they boycott him completely and his family members. And nobody talks with them, no food, no nothing. Complete, Allahu Akbar. Anybody else, he would be completely demoralized. But subhanallah al-azim, a Nabi of Allah, one verse of the Quran is revealed. One verse. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ We will elevate your mention. We will elevate your mention. Your name. We will elevate it. Allah is saying, I will elevate your name. Muhammad, we will elevate it. I remember once, you know, you get the flight magazines. And I don't remember where I was traveling from, but I 100% recall reading the flight magazine. And in the flight magazine, there was the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Can you imagine that? Talking about who Muhammad is sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah al-azim. And it was not even, you know, planes that belong to some Arab countries or Muslim countries. But generally talking about who Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is. Immediately this ayat came to my mind, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ That we will elevate your mention, your name, we will elevate it. No matter what happens, we will elevate. وَرَفَعْنَا We will give you rafat. Look at the elevation. Every second, countless people are sending salawat upon Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. every second, not one, countless, you can't count, per second, durood is being sent upon Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Not taking into account the angels, malaika, no, just insan. Every second, durood is being sent upon Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allahu Akbar. If you want to become a Muslim, the second part is Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The only name that you will find as a complete attachment with the name of Allah. Why? Because Allah said, we will elevate your status. We will elevate it. Subhanallah al-Azim. Imagine you want to give adhan. What a da'wah. That from the minarets you are saying, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. I testify that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What da'wah is that? Subhanallah. Your adhan is incomplete if you don't take the name of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Your declaration of faith is incomplete. Your salawat is incomplete. Your salah is also incomplete. Before you say your dua, last dua, there is durood. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin kama sallayta ala Ibrahim. In your salah. And according to some of the fuqaha in some madhahib, it is wajib to read durood sharif. Wajib. In some madhahib. Some of the fuqaha have said that. Your janaza namaz, you have to read durood sharif, the name of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then you are put down in the grave. Also there, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The three questions. One is, your recognition of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Am I right, brothers? Allah has elevated his name. So Allah is ar-rafi'u. And then of course this is in dunya. What about in the hereafter? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is given intercession. Intercession. It is called shafa'ati kubra. All of humanity will be running to Adam alayhi salam. Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam will say, no, I can't do nothing today. They will go to Ibrahim alayhi salam, I can't do nothing. Ibrahim alayhi salam is saying, I can't do nothing today. They will go to Musa, Moses, I can't do nothing. They will go to Isa, I can't do nothing. They will go to Nuh alayhi salam, I can't do nothing. All the Anbiya, the prophets at that time will be saying, only one person, one Zat, he is the leader of all the prophets. Ana Sayyidu Wuldi Adam, that I am the leader of all humanity on the day of Qiyamah. That is Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even his Ummah, but all the rest of humanity will also rush to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They will come to him. People will recognize the status of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we have to be very, very careful, my respected brothers. Anybody who is there to dishonor Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or to disrespect him, Allahu Akbar, read the books that are there. That is why people need to understand that as Muslims we have deep love for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is a very sensitive area, a no-go area. When it comes to Allah and His Rasul, and when it comes to the Quran, when it comes to Islam. Because Islam is a live religion, it is alive. It is not a religion that it's there only for one day. It's a way of life. And so all of humanity will come to Him. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will fall in sajda. In the hadith it comes at that time in sujood, he will praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And such praise will be uttered by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that before no man has ever heard. These will be words that Allah will put into the heart of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not the general words that we use as subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. No. Different words. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Irfa' rasak, lift up your head. Sal tu'ta, ask and everything shall be given to you. Whatever you ask will be given to you. And how fortunate we are to be part of this ummah. It is said that on the day of Qiyamah there will be 120 sufuf rows. How many rows? Going to Jannah. How many rows? Safs. How many safs are there in Masjid Umar here? Anybody counted? 120 safs. And that is, subhanallah, the sufuf for the greatest assembly. When from Adam alayhi salam until the day of Qiyamah, men, women, everyone will be standing. 120 sufuf. And let me give you the good news. 80 of the sufuf will be the saf of the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, all going to Jannah. By subhanallah to bol. Kanjus number one hai bhai, ye Leicester ke musalman bhai, dekhe bhai. It's like as if I'm doing chanda. You know? Am I taking money out from you guys? I'm saying 80 rows safs will go to Jannah and they're looking at me. Subhanallah. I need a Pakistani audience really. Gujarati hamare bahut naram hote. Doctor sahab, wo Pakistani garam hote. One line Maulana speaks, the second line the Pakistani Muqtadi will speak. Nice people, you know, they give you energy. I'm not being racist here, please forgive me. I'm just saying, I've had that experience. You see, one of my ustad, he used to tell me, Mauli sahab, you are an imam of which masjid? I said, this and that. He goes, who are your musallis? I said, you know, it's mixed. He goes, oh, you won't enjoy it. Find a masjid where you find a lot of Pakistanis. They keep you like this. How do they keep you? Like that. They will keep you. There's only two things with them, you see. They either love you or hate you. There is no middle path with our Pakistani brothers. You see, that is why if you go to Pakistan, the ulama, oh, they're like that. How are they? Like this. And because they also talk and very animated. Subhanallah al-Azim. And so khair, imagine 80 rows, 80 sufuf will go to Jannah. This is the barakat of who? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the honor that has been given to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now imagine also the physical honor given to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Mi'raj, the ascension. Physically uplifted, physically uplifted. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is given that honor, uplifted, gone towards Mi'raj. No Nabi has been given this. And then when he comes, he gives hadiyah to his ummah. What hadiyah is that? Salah. Salah, salah. And so, to share with his ummah, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given Mi'raj. When he did his Mi'raj, when he got up, subhanallah, to the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a gift was given to him of salah for his ummah. And so that is why the ulama say, as-salatu mi'rajul mu'min, the mi'raj of the believers is your salah. Is your salah. That is why also in salah you will see, we testify that Allah, every kind of elevation and descension comes from you. Sometimes you are standing, sometimes you are completely down. Sometimes you are standing, sometimes you are. All the different conditions come from who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you pray your salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate you. In Saudi Arabia, the government had taken on this project of laying new roads. And if I recall, it was the city of Shumran. In that part of the region, they wanted to lay new roads. The only problem was for the engineers is that there was a very small cemetery. That was the difficult part for them to lay the roads. And so only a few people were buried in that old cemetery. So the ulama gave fatwa and also taken permission from the family members that it's okay, there's only a few people that are there. What we will do is we will exhume the bodies and bury them elsewhere. And so the people that were there with respect and honor, they opened up the graves and the bodies were taken elsewhere to be buried. The last grave that was opened up, The last person to pass away and to be buried in that cemetery was a young child, 18 years of age. And he died 30 years ago. And he died how many years ago? 30 years ago. Apparently, one of the workers who was there, he was a local individual. When they opened up his grave, there was fragrance coming out from the grave. The coffin cloth was completely intact. And the janazah was completely fresh, as if this person is sleeping. 30 years ago, this boy, young boy, 18-year-old, passed away. Even after 30 years, there's khushbu, there's fragrance coming out. And people were so excited, they lifted up the janaza. And one of the individuals there, he said, you know what, I know this young boy. And a few of them lifted him up and they took him to the house. And the father was still alive, a very old man. Father was still alive, very old man. And they knocked on the door and they said that this is the body and the janaza of your son. So the father was old and they put half the body on his lap. And he looked at the face of his son after 30 years as if the son is sleeping. And he kissed the son and he says, all praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That once again Allah has given me the opportunity to see my son after 30 years. How many years? 30 years. And then they took him back and they buried him. But this old man said, it was the habit of my son. It was the habit of my son that since the age of puberty, he has never ever missed takbir-e-ula, to stand in the front saf and to get the first takbir with the imam. When the imam says Allahu Akbar, he was there all the time. Whenever the azan, when the muazzin gave the azan, he was already in the masjid and sitting in the front saf at that young age. At that young age. And he said to the people that were there, it is only the barakat of namaz that has given my son this honor. Nothing else. What else has my son got? 18 years of age. Namaz has kept him fresh, his body fresh. Allah, give us the tawfiq, the youngsters that are here. That this is our mi'raj. And finally, just to conclude, generally when we look at the Quran, the verses of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَكْوِيمٍ. That we have created insan in the best of molds. Generally, just to be a human being means Allah has given you elevation. You could have been anything. To be a human being, that means Allah has given you that elevation. Allah has given you a face. Allah has given you a soul, precious soul. A soul that is inside the body. Ruh, that is a ni'mah. That is karamat that Allah has given. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. Allah is saying that what generally happens is that when Allah has given you this elevation, but then thereafter when a person cuts away, when he cuts himself away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah makes him from amongst the lowest of the low. Makes him from the lowest of the low. How he becomes lowest of the low? He degrades himself in such a manner that he is there to worship cows. He is there to worship monkeys. He is there to drink urine. He is there to worship idols. He is there to worship all sorts. That is the lowest of the low. And he loves impurity. So much so that a time comes that he starts worshipping shaitan. Allah. That is why you'll see some of the people when they cut away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you look at their faces, when you look at them, it is as if the jinnat has entered into them. They become the lowest of the low. And you will see some of the people in our society, locality, Allahu Akbar, they pass away Death comes to them and nobody knows about it. Nobody knows about it. After 10, 15, 20 days, somebody will find out that so and so person has passed away. Nobody knows anything about him. Children have cut away from them. Family members have cut away from them. A dog becomes the best friend. Imagine that. A dog becomes your best friend. Because you can't find love. Then you find love with animals. You can't find a human being to share your love. Allah, when you turn away from Allah, you become so low that you begin to love animals. And you want a dog. Why do you want a dog for? You've got your children, you've got so much. There's no time in this world. Now, there's not. It doesn't mean that Islam says you disrespect the animals. It's not that. But the fact of the matter is that when you cut away from Allah, Allah is saying, ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. He becomes the lowest of the low. You'll find people who are professors, intelligent people. And they've spent so much, they've written books. But when it comes to worshipping, when it comes to their lifestyle, when it comes to lifting up their hands, Allahu Akbar. That is the time we do shukr. Allah, it is your ahsan. Allah, we recognize your two attributes, that you are Al-Khafidhu and you are Al-Rafi'u. Allah, keep us in that position, that is in the position of complete elevation, and elevation in such a way that Allah, you are pleased with us. Allah, save us from all the difficulties of this dunya, difficulties of the grave and the hereafter, and Allah, give us death in the state of iman. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم نستغفرك ونتوب إليك سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا رحمن.